In the name of Jesus, amen. To you who are bought with a price, my fellow redeemed in the Lord, greetings. Today, next to your baptism and possibly your subsequent ordination, is no doubt the most important day in the life of those of you who today will receive your first call into the office of the Holy Ministry. And the day is no less important for those of you who will be receiving your assignments of vicarage. This is your first opportunity, in the real sense, to get your feet wet in the work of the ministry. Truly a memorable day in the lives of all. After these many years of academic and scholarly preparation for this day, suddenly and almost abruptly, your life changes. Theoretical and textbook arrangements now suddenly become realities of life. The, for instance, situations of the classroom now become the facts of life. As a matter of fact, the term papers, the theses, come to an end, and week by week searching of the scriptures for those pearls of truth become the sermons which you share with your people. I say this takes place rather abruptly in your lives. And yet, it should not be disconcerting. It should not create frustrations. Rather, it should be for you a time of joy and happiness. You have a real understanding friend in a man named Paul, the apostle. His experiences in life were quite a bit like your own. He, too, was once a student. He sat at the feet of the learned Gamaliel, the great educator of his time. Paul was more than a student, he was a scholar among scholars, a man so well versed in the things of his day that he was able to meet the philosophers in anything that they had to say. He could stand up and debate with the Stoics and the Epicureans, the philosophers and the eggheads of his day, and hold his own. He was a man who was unashamed of the gospel of Christ, a man who stood on Areopagus and boldly witnessed and defended the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of these things caused him later on to be able to say to a Christian congregation, one which he had fostered and nourished as a pastor, the church in Galatia, he could say to them in the 6th chapter of his epistle to them in the 14th verse, "As for me, I will boast only of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For by means of his cross, the world is dead to me, and I am dead to the world." What a wonderful motto, my young friends, for you to carry with you into your ministry. Boasting in the cross of Christ. When the Apostle Paul says, "I boast only of the cross of Jesus Christ," he's not using this word boast in the modern sense which we know it today, in a sense of braggadocio, self-esteem, vain pride. Paul was not a loudmouth. He was not a windbag. But when he says, "I boast in the Lord Jesus Christ," or "in the cross of Christ," he rather wants to impress upon us the fact that when he came to the cross of Christ, he was humbled indeed. Paul could not forget that when he was Saul, he was constantly using violent threats of murder against God's children. He was mindful of the fact how he had gone to the high priest to obtain from him letters which would introduce him to the Jewish meeting houses, so that there he could seek out these followers of Christ, place them under arrest, and take them back again to Jerusalem for extinction. But the proud and haughty spirit of Saul of Tarsus was beaten into the ground as he groveled in the dust of the Damascus road. There, in the presence of the risen and the ascended, glorified Lord Jesus, Saul cries out, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And we know the answer he got. The Lord Jesus had selected him for a great purpose, to be his representative, his ambassador to the Gentiles. But it was on that occasion, at that moment, I feel, that Saul became Paul, that a sinner became a saint, that the persecutor became the persecuted, the hunter became the hunted, the Christian hater became a hated Christian. Yes, the cross of Christ made of Paul a humble saint. Later on, he could write to his young co-worker, Timothy, and say to him, as he does in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, Paul says, "I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me the strength for my work. I thank him for considering me worthy and appointing me to serve him, even though in the past I spoke evil of him and persecuted and insulted him." What consecrated submissiveness. What devoted humility on the part of this man. And so you, my young friends, as you today receive your assignments and your calls, as you enter upon your ministry, do so also with the humility of a Saint Paul. I know that you have not gone around persecuting the church. I realize that you're not a butcher of Christians. But by the same token, I also know that you, like all men, like Saul of Tarsus, like myself, were born in sin. By nature, the enemy of God. Unconverted. However, that self-same cross of Christ, which is the badge of our salvation, that self-same Christ who suffered and bled and agonized and died for us on that cross, yes, the self-same Christ who, as the resurrected and glorified Lord, appeared to Saint Paul, encountered him on the Damascus road, has also encountered you and me along life's highway. By holy baptism, he has completely reshaped our lives, refashioned them. And for you, young men, praise God, like unto Paul, he has also considered you worthy and has appointed you to serve him in the office of the holy ministry. May your every thought and word, your every desire and every act be such that it is humbly submitted to the holy will of the Lord Jesus Christ. For thus and thus alone can you hold aloft the banner of Christ. Thus and thus alone can you expect a God-pleasing success in your future ministry. "I boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus," says the apostle. These words also imply to us that Paul went to the cross to receive there the courage and the confidence and the determination which he needed to preach the gospel in his day. And you and I need to do the same. We are living in evil times. Truly, these are the last days. Who knows how soon will be the coming of the Lord? In the closing of the gospel of last Sunday, he even asked the question, "But will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he returns?" In these last days of sore distress, then, the devil is unleashing his fury against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as perhaps never before. Much of what could once be classified as Christian today has fallen prey to the ravages of hell and false teachings. There are those today who deny the virgin birth, those who poo-poo the miracles of Scripture, those who would tell us that there is no reality or factuality in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. His wondrous visible ascension into heaven, which high and holy festival we will observe again tomorrow, is said to be merely a parabolic account, one that is befitting a bedtime story for children. Much of this is what's taking place in so-called Christendom today. Many men of the cloth have stopped to worship at the shrine of intellectualism. And then, too, they have quaffed too deeply at the well of scientific realism, theological existentialism, and unintelligible religiosity. No wonder Christendom is bothered with such expressions and such attitudes as deicide, God is dead, Christian atheism, and religionless Christianity. What next? My young friends and fellow soldiers of the cross, the world today needs the preaching of the simple yet powerful message of the gospel as it has never needed it before in the history of the world. Believe me, it takes courage. It takes fortitude. It takes resoluteness on your part to preach the simple but powerful gospel of Christ. To identify yourself with and to proclaim the atoning merits of Christ's suffering and death means that you immediately stamp yourself as one who is unintelligent and an unrealistic fool in the eyes of many people. You and your message become the laughingstock of some in your communities. Believe me, it's cold out there. The office of the Holy Ministry is not a weekend picnic. Yet, my good friends, we should not be frustrated, not be discouraged, but rather take heart, for the ministry, in spite of all its difficulties, is still the most glorious, the most worthy profession or calling of all earthly callings. Why? Because you are dealing with people. People whom God loves, people for whom Christ died, people whose souls are now being committed into your care and keeping. In its very nature, the ministry is demanding, it is challenging. And it is for that reason that I would say you will want to go with the Apostle St. Paul often and regularly to the cross of Christ, there to receive your much needed courage and confidence and determination. Do that, and you too will be able to say with the apostle, as he wrote to his young friend Timothy, "I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength for my work." On another occasion, as he sat in the dungeon at Rome nearing the end of his life, he wrote to his good friends in Philippi, and he said to them, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. In our text, he says, I boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I say, go then, my young friends, accept your calls with true humility, but also with courage and confidence and with determination. May your boasting always be in the cross of Christ Jesus. And as you go to him regularly, you will hear his voice repeatedly, in which he says to you, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. And now may the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lead you into your ministry to the glory of his holy name. Amen.